All right, we got all of our VIPs have been invited. All of our VIP tickets are taken. And it was wild. You know, we sold out, which I am very, very grateful to you guys for that. And then I had a block of VIP. It's not that many. It's two times maybe. It was 10 or 14 seats, something like that. Well, that's only five couples. That can't be. Yeah. And it's very interesting. The people who, you know, say they're fans, and then I'm just joking. I'm just kidding around. I'm fucking around. No, I did extend invitations to, well, certain members of the entertainment business, as I'm sure you would too. And they all said, "That's great, Phil. Who are you again?" No, they there's a few folks that are coming. Some are out of town working, but most, I'd say, well, about half, you know. Everybody else was like, "They're fucking busy, man. What do you want?" You know, Thursday night. But I I'm giving it to them for free. Meanwhile, people are paying for the tickets. So yeah, that's really great. I'm fucking around. I'm joking. Everybody who could not attend sent back a very nice note. I told you, Joel McHale said, ship it over to France, and I want to see it. And Chris D'Elia is always a sweetheart of a guy. In fact, Chris is one of those guys that'll say, you know, just happy Thanksgiving to you, or Merry Christmas or something. So there's people like that, you know. Jay Moore, guys that are, you know, solid people in this world. Everybody that you would want to be a solid person in my life, it's proven to be the case, and including my very close friends. The Swede is going to be there. I was able to swing a couple of seats for the Swede and for Ray Bell, who's my buddy, my horse racing buddy. Who the fuck won the goddamn belt? I guess it wasn't California Chrome, was it? No. Did they already have the Belmont? I don't know. Today's Monday. I have no idea what's going on anymore, man. It's pretty sad, isn't it? Okay. Well, wait a minute, is the Belmont not run yet? That's impossible. I thought it was this past weekend. Oh, bullshit. It is, it's this coming weekend. But it wasn't this past weekend. Good Lord, I don't know why, but I thought the Belmont had been run. I thought it had been like fucking years since the Preakness, but it was only 2 weeks. That's what it is. Okay. Not 14. Yeah, that's 2 weeks. Huh. This guy who's the father of the young hostage, the soldier that was released, is he a hippie or is he, what's with the hair? I'm kidding. I mean, I'm sure he's just a cat he's just an Idaho guy, you know. He's got his beads and his hair pulled back, and that's cool. All right, so there's all kinds of 104 former Guantanamo detainees return to terror report. I don't know. I can go either way on this shit. I tend to agree with a lot of people when they say, I just don't like seeing those motherfuckers freed, that's all. You know, you look at those goddamn faces on those pieces of shit, and you just, you know, I think it's a natural instinct. It's also, I look at the face of that young man, his mother, his father. I get that, man. I'm thinking of my family, and how absolutely joyous I would feel. You know, I would be completely just overcome with joy. And that's the same guy saying that I hate to see, you know, these fucking pieces of shit. So I, you know, who am I? I can't fucking judge this shit, man. I don't know. I'll tell you this much. Obama, you know, people still misunderstand the guy. Not a surprise. Nobody really ever really made an effort to understand this presidency, this administration. The people that were very hardcore opposed to Obama at the beginning have the most closed of all minds. Even if you look at this guy's actions, this is not a guy that wants to be perceived by history as a weak, terror-coddling president. You know, it is the army of liars, bankers, fools, and I'm sorry for everything. The horror that is America is disgusting. This is the comments made by this young man who was under duress as a hostage. I just, you know, I'm not going to buy into any of that shit. Now they're wondering, did this kid go AWOL? You know, what's the story? Even if it was, but if it was my kid, and the government said we have a way to get him out and we're going to go forward, I would say please do. Even if he'd made statements that were against the government, even if he was AWOL, it would be my initially emotional response. You know, don't you think you? I'm sure that there's not a person listening to me, not one person listening to me, were it their child, would disagree. Does it make it right? That's the question. In our minds and in our lives, yeah. As moms and dads, sure. For us. But is it cool for the country, you know? Some people say, fuck the country. I don't buy that argument. I don't buy the fuck the country argument because we're all part of that country. You know, we all benefit from that country. Yes, we contribute. We also benefit, you know. And there's others that have contributed. And there's others that have contributed a fuck of a lot more. So I can't really say, you know, like many people are tempted to say, I don't give a shit about the country. I just care about my kid. Well, that's people like that, man. I'd like to follow around for about a year, you know, and just make notes on all the shit they do, and then just throw it up into their fucking face at the end of the year, as to how they've, you know, benefited from the whole shooting match, man. That's my feeling. But then I'm just a dumbass. Man, I'm just a dumbass. I'm sitting here trying to do my thing. So here's the Belmont Stakes coming up on Saturday. 10 race Saturday at Belmont. Who gives a shit? Belmont Stakes 2014 schedule. Triple Crown event caps 10 race Saturday. I mean, if I was in New York, it'd be fun. I'd go and I'd enjoy the day, but all eyes will be on California Chrome the week leading up to the final leg of the Triple Crown. Melissa Hoppert of the New York Times reports. We're going to go ahead and print this bitch. Ooh, ooh, woo! Margaret, I think you ought to sing that song.
Well, what? Excuse me for a moment. Oh, good. What should I do?
You should sing that song.
Oh, flowers and beads are one thing. Having a girl, well, that's something. La-dee-dee-dee-dee. It's very lovely. It's very light and lilting. An innocent time, Phil.
It really? Was it an innocent time? Kids back then were in the park dropping downers, as I remember, and smoking the weed.
How dare you let people know the truth?
All right. Let's see. I remember there was a big controversy back then. Six. When I was in high school, a song came out called Ichigo Park. And you guys have heard the song Ichigo Park, you know. What will you do there? Well, anyway, that song was the center of some controversy by some of the adults who thought it was a song that encouraged playing hooky. So, folks, nothing new under the sun. Nothing new under the sun. When I say And I think a lot of the things, one of the things I'm learning here about being a fucking old guy is you've heard it, you've heard all this shit before. You know what I mean? In other words, you think, holy fuck. Maybe not true for other generations of old guys, but at least for me, when I hear people talking about, like 99% of the shit that I hear these days doesn't surprise me because I already fucking heard it. I heard it 30 years ago, 40 years ago, 15 years ago, whatever. So, you know, but when I hear a unique idea, when I hear a new idea, I celebrate it, man. I like new ideas. I got to tell you, I am fucking beat, man. And I'll tell you one other thing. This goddamn show coming up Thursday night has got me... I got a lot of material, and you have to roll this material out in a specific way, and you have... You know, it's a physical performance. I think I'm going to lose 5 pounds doing this show Thursday night. Just my own personal opinion. Now, one of the things about the Hollywood Improv that you may not know, they have a brand new roadhouse-style restaurant that they've opened up. In the building there, it's nice. I went in, I saw it. It's really cool, and it's just kind of funky, roadhousey, sort of sawdust on the floor kind of a thing. But they have moonshine, and I said to Jamie, who was the club man, one of the club managers that I met, was it Jamie or was it Chase? And she said to me, oh, yeah, it's moonshine. I said, well, now, real moonshine. She said, real moonshine. So I guess you can, if you bond it through the government, you know, in other words, if you make the moonshine and you fucking put a government label on it, government sticker, you can sell that shit. So in other words, it's homemade, supposedly, homemade shit liquor, supposedly out of a still, you know, I doubt it. I mean, are you kidding? But she said that, and here's the thing, here's the giveaway that's probably, I mean, I'm sure it's moonshine in terms of the alcohol content, which I think moonshine is almost 200 proof, man, which is 200 proof is 100% alcohol. So what's moonshine, like 180 or some shit? I drank Mao Tai in China, and Mao Tai is a small bottle of very hardcore booze, very, very hardcore, clear distilled liquor, alcohol drink. You know, it's a national drink of China. It's like vodka for Russia. This shit is for China. And I'm here to tell you, that shit was almost 200 proof. That stuff took, I saw it. I saw it take the varnish off of a wood floor. After we'd had a poker game and somebody spilled some, the next day, it was just like, you know, had it been burned through to the next deck, you know, like in Alien, there would have been some serious repercussion. Well, I guess we would have died. And that goddamn stuff, golly, Andy. It was we drank it and then we chased it, you know, obviously with beer. That's the thing to do. You know, so you're drinking that swill, you get yourself a bottle of that Tsingtao or Seagull or whatever the, you know, we were drinking. And now you're living like a freaking human. You're living like a human being. You're living like a Western man. You know, don't tell the Chinese I said this, but, you know, you're, thank God. I'm kidding. Oh, God, you know, Anne B. Davis died from the Brady Bunch. Alice, the comic actress, she of the Bob Cummings Show. Anybody remember that show, the Bob Cummings Show? She played the character on the Bob Cummings Show. I don't know. But even on the Bob Cummings Show, which was in the 50s, and I only saw it in reruns as a kid, you knew that this girl was, well, she was all business, you know. She had a German name. You guys probably remember. Some of you guys remember the show. But she was all business. You know, she wasn't. She didn't. Bob didn't flirt with her. She didn't flirt with him. She was his gatekeeper. She was the executive secretary. She was all business. And you figured, well, okay, that's the way some ladies are. You know, they're not going to flirt. Well, yeah, some ladies are lesbians. Dun dun dun. I'm not knocking it. I'm not. By the way, Adam Carolla, my close personal friend, who I've, you know, spoken to twice in my life. Adam's a good guy. Now, he's got a book out called President Me. I think that's what it's called. We should have him on the fucking show. Why are we not interviewing him? Why don't we? Now, there's a cat we could have on the show. We could have him on the show. We could interview him. We could ask him about gays. Now, apparently, we got to get our shit together in this whole thing. We're going to be doing interviews, but I want to do them by way of Skype, you know? So, it was like, I got to find cats with Skype, and I don't want to have to fuck with it. In other words, they're going to have to be really tech-savvy people. I think Adam is, you know, Mark Maron probably. Oh, and coming up on the 3rd, tomorrow night is our episode of, what's it called? Playing House. And that's going to be tomorrow night. I will be there with Nancy Daly, my very close personal friend, the lady that played my wife. I'm Chief McGrath, and she's Bunny McGrath. And we had a great chemistry, you know, because the thing we worked out was that, you know, the Chief and Bunny are hot for each other after all these years. You know, he just thinks she's the fucking shit. He just loves her, man. I mean, he would, you know, and anybody fucks with Bunny, you know, and there's the Chief, you know. So that was kind of our basic thing. That's kind of the thing that we worked out between us, you know, in our process. But yes, forget it. Drooping Dress jean sales dropped 5% in 12 months. Is that good news, Fox? Fox likes to report all this shit about, you know, no more Negroes in jeans. Excuse me. That's tomorrow night. Anyway, what was I going to say? God damn it, I forgot. It was way better than the shit about... Fuck me. Can anybody remind me what I was talking about? 855-500-7445. I'd really... Seriously. What was I just talking about before I talked about the thing with Chief Lovelace, Chief McGrath? 855-500-7445. Remind me and... And win, you know, I don't know, some shot glasses. How about that? Oh, I know. I want to get, I don't know if this was it, but I do want to get the guys, Adam Carolla, President Me, talking about the gay issue. Now, he was talking about the, something having to do with the gay mafia, or if you say any, or you cannot make a gay joke because they'll be down on you like you wouldn't believe, right? And I say down on you in the sense of, you know, beat you down, not... Now, okay, I can dig that. And Adam said, you know, you make these gay jokes, you might as well just give it up because they're going to be all over you like stink on shit, man. You cannot get away from it. And I read that, and I this is the thing about our show that may be different from every other show, I don't know. We don't ever have a problem. Hold on for a minute, man. Have we got somebody here? Good morning.
Hey, you were talking about Ann B. Davis.
Oh, I was. Okay. Who's this?
Melissa.
Oh, Melissa, how are you doing, dear?
I'm fine. How are you?
And where are you calling from?
I'm actually calling from Atlanta.
Oh, that's bitchin'. Atlanta, yep. My old stomping grounds.
Yep.
All right, Melissa, you're the best, girl. I'm going to get you some shot glasses just because you're you.
Oh, excellent.
And I want to know your username.
Liss, I believe it's Liss, L-I-S-S 30,
30. L-I-S-S 30? Cool, because that's all we need, and then we can send you, we have your address and everything. Liss 30, L-I-S-S 30. Yep. Okay, hon.
Awesome.
Ann B. Davis, you are the best. Thank you. Whereabouts in Atlanta? I used to live in Midtown.
We're actually in Midtown.
You are?
Yep.
And I know that Midtown is home to a very large community of...
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway.
What could it be?
Well, seriously? Well, I thought that where I lived, that's really the center of the gay community in Atlanta.
You were probably by, like, near 10th?
Yeah.
Piedmont Park area?
Yeah, exactly.
It's very festive.
It's a festive area, did you say?
It's very festive.
Okay. All right, Melissa. Peace out.
All right.
Peace to the nation. Thank you. There's Liss 30, man. She's all over it. She gets some shot glasses for reminding me of Ann B. Davis. What I was basically saying was that I actually lived in Midtown Atlanta. Yeah, that which was a gay part of Atlanta. And the reason why I said that is I thought I was maybe speaking to a member of that community, but I don't know. That's a very rude thing to do. Hi, are you gay? It wouldn't be. You could ask me anything. But I'm not gay, so it's... Sorry. Bieber, sorry for racist joke. What the fuck is with this guy, anyway? Bieber. All right, so... good morning.
Hey, Phil, what's up?
How you doing? What's your username?
It's Mumblix Grump.
Oh, it's you. It's you, Mumblix. What what did you want to say to me?
Actually, I just wanted to remind you, Andy Davis, her name was Schultzy on the box.
Oh, yeah, man. Schultzy. And she was. She was very efficient. Yeah, she didn't flirt. Bob flirted with all the chicks on that show, but not her.
Yeah.
Cool. Thanks, dude. Bye.
No problem.
All right. All right, well... My fly's open. Justin Bieber apologizes for using N-word in a joke when he was 15. Oh, will you please? You know, when he was 15, I thought it was something now. And he probably learned it from his father. You know, his dad, who is just an absolute degenerate. All right. So the thing that I'm saying here and that I want to get through to you all, because I love you, is that... on our show, we will make we will make gay references and gay asides and gay, quote, faux insults between characters. So we're doing what one could perceive to be, we're doing, you know, we're satirizing gay insult jokes, gay jokes, or anti-gay humor. But that's the difference. We're satirizing that. And I think maybe that's why I don't relate to people saying they can't say, unless your attitude is you don't dig gay people. And that way, I can't really relate to you that way, man. I don't see gay people jumping my fucking case if I'm doing, you know, gay humor, because we do it in a satirical way, and I'm not anti-gay per se. Hey? Anti-gay? Not me, per se. I, you know, no way. So, but who is? Who's possibly anti-gay? I don't understand that. But I don't even have the attitude that the gay mafia is out there waiting to shut down my operation here because I may, I don't know, you know? I don't have that feeling. And that's another layer to all of this shit. There's a difference between me, maybe, but I don't even want to speak for Adam Carolla or anybody else. I don't want to say that he is anti-gay. I'm sure that he's not. I don't think he would say that he is. Okay, let me put it that way. I don't know, you know, where his head is at, but I'm sure if you asked him, he would say, no way am I anti-gay, but I like to make fun of them. Okay. All right, so let's talk about that. Do I like to make fun of gay people? Not really. I like to make fun of straight guys' attitudes toward gay people. I like to see straight guys squirm when we draw them into the joke, you know. To me, that's just a lot more fun. I mean, I'm not saying it because I'm better than anybody. It just, to me, it's a lot more fun. Now, if you say to me, well, okay, this is cool, Phil, why don't you take out one day and just make fun of gay people? You know, just straight ahead, make fun of gay people. I think we sort of did with Doug Danger, but we were making fun of a political attitude that some gay people had, not really gay people. Doug Danger is a complete satirization of militant gay activists. I mean, really super, the ACT UP guys, who I don't really see anymore. They're not, that's why Doug is kind of a character that's, in a lot of ways, is getting a bit anachronistic here. I mean, I don't know where else to take that character unless we just turn him into, I've never wanted him to be sexual, like a blackface, you know, as they say, like a gay blackface. Where he's just talking, he's lisping, and he's just mincing about and just doing this, you know. I don't find that interesting. You know, I always thought Doug was way more interesting as this butch gay dude who's ready to just kick ass on anybody that looks at him cross-eyed. I always thought that was a lot more funny. Plus, it was a more effective character for the audience. But personally, I don't have any real interest in making, there's nothing there to make fun of, really. There's more fun to be had in the mainstream mocking the mainstream is far more interesting to me. Far more interesting. It's the mocking the fringes of society seems like the thing that sort of happened to me when I grew up, you know, because I was a weird guy and I had a weird sense of humor. People made fun. We always make fun of people that are not a part of the whole, you know. What's so interesting about that? Let's make fun of some gay guys. Yeah, like it's like back in junior high. Making fun of the minority, making fun of the person that doesn't have a lot of people to defend him or her, making fun of the person that is the other, making fun of the person that's different. Either they're mentally impaired, or they're physically impaired, or they're black, or they're Chicano, or they've got a big nose, or they got buck teeth. Anybody that looks, you know, hidden cash spreads to Dallas, D.C. in the U.K. Well, this is heavy, man. Somebody's hiding envelopes of money. Isn't that cute? I love that idea. I love that idea. Must be like a millionaire just having some fun, man. Now, that's a way to do a serial event. If you are a psychopath and you want to do something that will manipulate people and you'll get some notoriety for it and you'll watch people just spread money around, you know. Problem with you psychopaths is because you're psychopaths, you're not very successful in life, not really successful enough to just spread cash around like that. All right. Let's get our shit together here, huh? I have no idea what kind of a show we're going to have this morning. Couple things. It's going to be a shortened show because of the show coming up on Thursday. By short, I mean maybe an hour, hour 15, something like that. But then these are podcasts now, man. They're not full three-hour shows. So there is that, you know. So we're going to get ready to join our Listen Live and Tune In folks. And good morning, and welcome to our Tune In and our Listen Live listeners. Phil Henry here. You're there. We're about ready to rock this goddamn thing. And I've got some stories here today we're going to look at. Mostly the news is not interesting, but today there's a couple of things. One of them is this V. Stiviano got beat up in New York and called the N-word. That's what she claims. That's what her lawyer claims. Did it happen? I guess. I don't know. I was thinking about this. I don't know why, but I was thinking about George Steinbrenner, the former owner of the New York Yankees, whose family still owns the team, but the man himself, the man, the myth, the legend. And when the Yankees and the Dodgers were in the World Series in 81, and the Yankees were in Los Angeles for their away games here in L.A., Steinbrenner claimed to have been assaulted in an elevator at the Bonaventure Hotel downtown. He claimed that these were anti-Yankee Dodger fans, and they saw him, and they punched him out in this elevator. Nobody was ever arrested for it. No one ever really saw it. It was strictly on the word of George Steinbrenner, who went on to say that was very unusual. He said, "We're always treated well here in Los Angeles. The Dodgers are great hosts, and I can't believe that this happened to me." And then I thought about another event that took place with a guy by the name of Morton Downey Jr. Some of you may remember him. He had an explosive talk show late night nationally in the late 80s, early 90s. And he claimed to have been attacked in a bathroom stall by some neo-Nazis. He had a swastikas painted on his face. He looked like he'd been coated in some toilet paper or something. That turned out to be a hoax. And the reason why it was hoaxed is because he felt that he needed it. He felt he needed the publicity. Okay, are we all set to go? Let's get this thing rocking and rolling here this morning. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. Again, we're on TuneIn and Listen Live. We are streaming live right now, y'all.